Thank you for a chance to come and study with you, and we thank you for the Book of Enoch. Although it's been kind of ignored by some of our early church fathers, we know that some of your favorites, Peter, Jude, and a lot of the Old Testament writers refer to him. So we want to learn, we want it to be according to your will, we want to mesh it with your holy word so that we do not miss one important detail. Thank you, Lord, that we have a group that wants to study, and we ask that you would walk among us, that you be the breath in our voice, and that you would be overshadowing everything that we say and do to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are in the Book of Enoch. I have taken the liberty to remind you that I am only going to do First Enoch with you. So when I say Enoch, for me, for this study, I'm going to be referring to First Enoch. There are two other books with that name, Second Enoch and Third. I'm not referencing them. I'm not teaching them. So for brevity's sake, I will say Enoch, and you'll know I mean First Enoch. We got through the first five chapters last time we studied. We're going to try to get through to nine. There are 36 chapters that we're going to take particular note of as we study. It's called the Book of the Watchers. And so that is the study of Enoch we're going to center on, the chapters 1 through 36. Just a kind of a brief overview, because some of you were here, some of you weren't. This book's written somewhere about the time as the Book of Daniel. Now, we're saying somewhere because we don't know exact dates, but I'm going to tell you about 700 years before Jesus was born. About the time Daniel was taken captive and his story with Nebuchadnezzar and all that. That's about the time this story was happening too. Because you understand this in the Bible. There are concurrent stories going on. They overlap each other. And when you begin to understand, oh, he was friends and he knew him. And because each segmented book in the Bible we read and we think it's an entity by itself, it is not. They are interrelated and they are interwoven. And so we're going to think about in the terms of about the time of Daniel. This is when this book was written. You understand it is pseudepigraphal, which means this. It is not written by Enoch. It is about him. He did not pen it. That's not unusual for books in the Bible. We have it as an example of lots of books that are written today. There are biographies about people. For instance, I bet there's 25 about Donald Trump. He didn't write any of them. They would be pseudepigraphal. This is pseudepigraphal, meaning the whole story is going to center around him as a central feature, but he's not the author. And that, when you get that, probably a compilation of several authors put this together. We're not sure. They didn't sign their names to it. So that's one reason that the early church fathers had trouble making it canon. I think that for me, and I'm going to make this a Lindaism that you don't have to believe, and please don't, check it out for yourself. I think the central one reason that Enoch is not in the Bible is because it tells you more about the Genesis 6 saga than any place else in reference. We're going to lay those two side by side, and you're going to learn things about that Genesis 6 debacle when the fallen angels came down and mated with human women and made giants. Well, let's just get to the crux of it. That's what it is. That the early church fathers thought that was kind of nasty. We don't want to talk about that. So let's just erase that out and say, no, that's not really what happened. It was really the sons of Seth. And they were, you know, not doing what they were supposed to. And they married the daughters, you know, of Cain. And they had giants. No, that's not what happened. So let's be honest here and say that I think what we studied tonight and for the next 3 or 4 weeks is going to enlighten Genesis 6 to you. It's going to give some details that Moses doesn't write. And why would Moses not write these details? Moses would assume that you knew them. The Jews in the Second Temple period, that's what we're going to call this period that we're talking about too. Second Temple period. It is a period that happens between the two Testaments, a little bit before and a little bit after. So, you know, in the Daniel era, but also really about Malachi to about going into the book of Matthew. We have this, what they call the silent period of the church. It isn't silent. In fact, if you read Daniel, his last chapters, he tells you that detailed history. And when those of you that have studied with me, I can tell you the Ptolemy, and I can tell you which king Bernice comes in, and Daniel nails it all that period. So it's not silent. We don't have any canonical books in that period, but that's where Enoch would fit, because during that second temple period, that would be from Malachi till Matthew. Guess what? The thing that you need to understand, those Old Testament and early New Testament folks read books. They read scrolls. They had the Septuagint 300 years before Jesus was born. They were carrying around scripture, and they were reading, and they read Enoch. We know for a fact that the early New Testament writers, I can name you two exactly that reference him, but I can get hints of Enoch in almost every New Testament book, including the Apostle Paul, including Peter, including John. They had read Enoch, and they understood him. So, I'm not here to argue whether it should be in the Bible, I'm here to argue that it is an important book. It was well read by authors of the Bible, and it is pertinent for us in our understanding to know where they were coming from. These are God's people we're talking about. I mean, we're talking Peter, and Jude was Jesus' half-brother who didn't come to understand who he was till he rose from the dead, but then he was gangbusters after that. And these guys quoted Enoch. So I guess I'm making my case that you're spending your time wisely. We don't know much about it. Being raised a Baptist, we would never say the word Enoch. I mean, kind of hide your face when you say that, but I'm going to say it out loud. That's what you're studying. So this is written about the time of the book of Daniel. You're going to find that you have lots of New Testament references to it. We talked about that last week. I'm not really going to go into that again. Just to remind you what the Second Temple Judaism was, and that was that period between the Testaments, and also it somewhere between 515 years before Jesus to about 70 AD. And that will almost take in Daniel, almost. He's about 600 to 700 years. So it's about that time till 70 when Titus the Roman came in and destroyed Jerusalem after Jesus, of course, had ascended. Enoch is interesting in that he is in the lineage of if you listen, if you follow the lineage in the Bible, God talks about him. He's talked about. Now, I want to hasten to add here, and we talked about all this last week, so we're probably not going to review that. I've got the lineages all listed, but you do remember that there's an evil Enoch. Yep. This is not him. Remember I told you. The funny thing about Cain's kids and Seth's, lots of the names are almost parallel, and you have to be really careful who you're reading about. So I'm not going to be referring to the evil Enoch on Cain's side. That's not going to happen here. If I do, I'll call him evil Enoch. I just want to set the ground rules of this because that could get confusing if you weren't here last week when we studied. For instance, let's talk about Matthew 5. When Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I think we could all quote that by memory. And according to Enoch, he says, "But for the elect there shall be light and joy and peace, and they shall inherit the earth." We're going to find that Matthew echoes him. We also find Isaiah echoes him and Paul, as well as Peter and Jude. I think if we probably spent enough time on Enoch, we could probably get hints of him in every book in the Bible. He's that important. So batten the hatches, because we're going to shake probably some cages with this. So from this period on, now we're in chapter 6. A lot of these chapters are very, very short. I mean, a few sentences. We're going to get into some that are longer. But from this point on, from chapter 6 on in this Book of the Watchers, this chapter is 1 through 36. So that's called the Book of the Watchers. It is 1st Enoch, chapters 1 through 36. From chapter 6 on, you're going to see the worst of the worst for humans. You're going to see the revolt of these watchers and then aftermath of that. Now, let me explain so that we get terminology right. Who are the watchers? And Daniel actually talks about the watchers. I'm going to refer to Daniel a lot because it seems to me like there's echoes of him all through Enoch. If you will remember this for sure, the watchers came down in the book of Daniel and they pronounced judgment on Nebuchadnezzar, that he would have that lithanthropy where he would be an animal eating grass and mowing around like a cow for 8 years. And he did that. And the watchers came down because he was so brazen and so full of himself. The watchers came down and pronounced judgment on him. And the word was watchers. And this is in the book of Daniel. So people say, well, this stuff you're teaching is not in the Bible. Daniel is, and he talks about the watchers. Enoch's just going to explain a little bit more who the watchers are. So let's talk about that. Watchers are not all bad. Those watchers that came down in Daniel were on a mission from God. And they came, what watchers are. I'm not going to call them angels because the Bible doesn't call them angels, but they are angelic beings. They're entities that are not us. They are spiritual beings of another realm. They may be a form of angels, but they're definitely a created being of God in the spiritual realm. And they, the ones that God created, were good. Of course, what happened was, you do remember there was a rebellion in heaven. A third of the entities in heaven chose to go with the enemy of our souls. We call him the devil, the Satan, the dragon. You know who he is. I don't even ever capitalize his name when I write about him. It's the Satan, little letters, the devil, little letters, because I'm not going to give him that. I'm not going to capitalize his name. So the watchers, a third of the angels fell. Some of those evidently were watchers, that category of angels, because we're going to see in Enoch that he explains who they were, and he's going to name names, and he's going to put them on Mount Hermon in the number of 200. And he's going to tell you what they did, and it ain't pretty. It's nasty and icky, and here's what we need to know as sanitized, westernized Christians. This is one of the deeds that any Jewish scholar from back when to now would tell you that this deed that they did in Genesis 6, along with the fall in the garden, are the two things that brought mankind to ruin. Later on, they'll couple the Tower of Babel with it to make a big three baddies. We, as sanitized Christians, if someone would say, why is man so bad? What happened to them? We'd say, oh, it was a fall of Eden. You know, blame Eve. Blame Adam. I've even said that. Well, if it weren't for Adam and Eve, you know. Oh, and the Jew would say that. And then they say, and if it weren't for what happened in Genesis 6 when the watchers came down and corrupted human DNA, and if it wasn't what happened in the Tower of Babel, and by the way, that's a real interesting story. We're picking that up in the study of Genesis. It's not all that you think it is. It's way worse. Like this story in Genesis 6 that we've been blown over and sanitized to think, oh yeah, well, that's moving on. Nothing to see here. Moving on. Not true. The average Jew to this day, if you could ask them what caused this crummy stuff happening with man, they'd say, well, it was the Garden of Eden, and it was the watchers that came down on Mount Hermon that corrupted humankind, and it was the Tower of Babel. We have to get into the Jewish mindset. This is a Jewish book written by a Jewish God to a Jewish people, and this book, Enoch, is a Jew's book. It is what every Jew today understands. It's what in Second Temple period, early Christians and before Christianity, those Jews understood. And when they wrote the New Testament, they had thought you would know this. You should know Enoch. If you could step Peter into this room and Jude into this room, and Matthew into this room, and let's name him John into this room, they'd say, yeah, you don't know Enoch? Why? You should know Enoch. And so that's what you're doing. You're preparing your non-Jewish mind to think like a Jew. Because they knew this. Jesus knew this story. They carried this book around and they read it. Have I sold you on studying it yet? I tried to do that last week. Let's see if I've succeeded. Anyway, from this period on, you're going to see all the baddies of the baddies. And to start this section, I've enlisted Travis to start Now, I think what's interesting, too, you're going to find Enoch 6 and Genesis 6, and they're going to tie just like this. So read us Genesis 6, 1 through 4, and he's reading out of the King James Version, and then we'll take up from today.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown.
And I'm continuing on, and I'm reading Enoch chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the children of men had multiplied, that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of the heavens, saw and lusted after them, and said to one another, Come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men, and beget us children. And Samjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered and said, Let us all swear an oath, and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations, not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then swear they all together and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And they were in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And these are the names of their leaders. Now remember, there's 200, but these are the leaders. And God names names. Semajaza, their leader, Erechiba, Ramael, Kokabiel, Tamiel, Ramiel, Daniel, Ezekiel, Barakijel, Azazel, Armaros, Batarel, Anael, Zaquel, Samzapil, Satarel, Terel, Jamjael, Sariel. These are the chiefs of the tens. And let me tell you something, when a name ends in E-L, they count themselves as God. El means God. These guys, these watchers, these angelic beings, these fallen angels, let's just call them who they are, thought they were gods. Because they named their names El. They were like a god. Now, I'm saying little g. You know what I mean. There is one God. You know my heart. One God Almighty, the Holy Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. These guys thought they were little g gods. You should know that the number 200 is very, very interesting. In the Bible, 200 means an upheaval or an antagonistic event. The fact that they're 200 spoke volumes to the early Jews. They would immediately go, oh no, trouble's coming. There are 200 of them. The imprecations they keep talking about, because I kept reading that. What does that mean? Bind themselves by mutual imprecations. Those are spoken curses. They cursed each other. They said, if you don't do this, you're cursed. They were spreading curses on each other to make them keep their oath. Well, you have to know this. These 200, I call them fallen angels. Some books call them watchers, fallen watchers. Landed on Mount Hermon for a distinct purpose, and it was not good. They had imagined in their mind that they were going to remake the human race. I wonder who thought of this. Gee, their father, the little d devil, probably. And we are going to inbreed with human women so that our genetic makeup binds with their DNA so that they are not pure humans. Why would they do that? And here's why. God knew that he was going to have to send a savior. In Genesis 3, he said to the serpent, he will bite your foot, and you will step on his head, and he will bite you. And right there in Genesis 3, The age-old conflict came between the good guys and the bad guys. Between Adam's line, which would come through Seth, of course, and the devil's line, which would come through Cain. Now, that's a whole other story. We're not going to go into that tonight, but you know what I'm talking about. So we have these two set up, this enmity from Genesis 3 on, where the devil sets out to make man fall. He did a pretty good job in the garden, but God said, no, I'm going to send a Savior. And he's going to bruise your head, and you're going to bite his heel, which we know the cross, when they did the feet, was part of that. We also know this, that age-old battle, when you look at it, is a genetic battle. It's a battle for the DNA. Until you get that piece, none of this makes sense. Why did the devil want to corrupt the human bloodline? Because a Messiah can't come in a corrupted bloodline. He has to come in a pure human. Jesus had to be born, be implanted into a human woman that did not have any Nephilim-tainted blood, or he could not be the Redeemer of the world. And the devil, smart as he was, knew that. So let's see, if I send 200 of my really good-looking, cool chief reptilian ickies, whatever they look like, watchers, and I send them on the purpose to begin corrupting the DNA line of by using human women. He goes, oh, devil says that's a pretty good plan. And he takes some of his chiefs, and they name names. We have names. Well, later on, Enoch's going to tell us what they were specialized in. So the devil had this plan, sent him on Mount Hermon, and then they began filtering in. And he darn near got it done. Because we're going to find by the time of Noah, it got so dire that it got down to 8 human beings out of the... They estimate that at the time of... And this is an estimation. 200 to 300 million people on the earth by then. Don't know. Just guessing. Got down to 8 human beings whose bloodline was not tainted. And God said, oh yeah, time to wash up this mess and send the flood. You know the story. But this is what we're getting more detail about. We don't get these names of these evil watchers in Genesis. Travis read to you what we got in Genesis. You get about 4 verses, and Moses moves right on. And why would he do that? Because you knew this story. You're a Jew. You knew the book of Enoch. You knew this story. You knew these guys by names. Why would he make a redundant thing and rewrite it? Most of the Bible that leaves a blank is because our Western sanitized mind has not picked up what the average Jew already knew. I read John sometimes and I think, oh, you left a big gap there. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, but you're a Jew's Jew. You knew that. I don't. And then I have to go search. Because we're not taught, and we don't even think like a Jew. Like I said, get your mindset that there wasn't just one big bad thing that happened in the garden. There was that, and then there was Genesis 6. This is the next big bad thing. And every Jew you would talk to would know this story. So let's go on. We're continuing on. And after that, I want you to pay attention real close of those parallels. Travis read it. You've got it. You've got a copy. I gave you the Genesis book. You've got that. Put them side by side. They're almost a mirror image of what they say. We get a little bit more with Enoch, but it's the exact same story. And isn't it interesting? They're both chapter 6, verse 1. God has a detail that if we will just pay attention, it's right there. I mean, Enoch 6:1, Genesis 6:1, and then start reading them. And they're almost an echo of each other. I like that. The ancient names, I told you, because they used El, suggest that they are some kind of chiefs. They think they're gods. They're high angels in the court of the Satan. They're not God's angels. They're fallen. They've come to earth for a dastardly deed. They're not here for good. So they are high ups. Don't ever be shocked about that. And we know that Mount Hermon is also a place where this supposedly started. So evidently, they picked that region for some specifics. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It's on the northern boundary of the Amorites. If you go, when we go into a little bit of the Old Testament history, the Amorite tribes are giants. So that's where they start. Of course, then the tribes that follow are going to be giants. We do know that Joshua met these guys. We also know this is kind of the northern boundary of the kingdom of God. So they're in the north, and when Joshua and Moses come up to battle these guys, they're well entrenched there. This is where they started, Mount Hermon, and this is where they proliferated. This is their territory. The days of Jared are this. It seems like, let me read to you Genesis 9, 28 through 29. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Remember, he was 950 years old. And that shows that Noah was some. Now, think about this. He was 70 years old when Jared, his great-great-grandfather, died. About 130 years later, Noah began to have his own sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. A lot of people believe they're triplets. A lot of people believe Noah had trouble with fertility. Now, I can't prove this. He had no other children. And most people think those boys are triplets. Could be. Just saying. And the flood occurred some 200 years after Jared's death, bringing the material in 1 Enoch together with the dates in Genesis, and that means the events of Genesis 6, 1 through 4, which Travis read, began at least 100 years before the birth of Noah's first son. In other words, these giants were growing and procreating and multiplying and moving all around and having more baby giants 100 years before Noah had his first son. It's no wonder that by the time that Noah had his boys and they were old enough to be who we know them to be at the time of the flood, that the earth was filled with these, right? That's the time slot. It didn't happen just overnight. We're talking a couple of centuries here. These things are creating and, yeah, you get the picture. Okay. So the earth was filled with Nephilim by the time of the flood. God did not destroy the earth because man was evil. We're evil now. We're evil to the core. I mean, I guess he promised he would never destroy it with water again, but he didn't destroy it because it's evil. He destroyed it because the DNA was corrupted. They're not redeemable. They are part fallen angel, part human being, and they can't come to Christ. They're not God's created being. God didn't create them. He created the angels, like we've talked about this. He has two families. He has his spiritual family. He has the angels and that entities and the watchers, and I don't know all their names. We know a couple of them. We know one that didn't do too well. We don't talk about him. And then we know he has the human family, but the human family has to be redeemed through the blood of his son, and that's where we're at. So I'm now in 1 Enoch chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. And all the others together with them took unto themselves wives. Now remember, he just named the chiefs, 20 of them. But there are 180 others he didn't give names to. So he's saying now all of them, all 200 of those guys that came down on Jared, the watchers. And each chose for himself one, and they began to go into them and to defile themselves with them. And they taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants, and consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish, and devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. So a lot of this we need to stop and talk about. So these 200 guys took wives and had baby giants. It's interesting, it says when they went to have sex with them, the Bible calls it a defilement. Anytime there's an unnatural sex act, such as bestiality or whatever, it's always called a defilement. So this is the Holy Spirit saying, this is not natural. This is not normal. It says, yeah, well, people say, well, they married them, they were their wives. No, it's not normal. You can't marry a horse either. I mean, it's like, ooh. Bible's saying this is defiling. That word, pay close attention to that. It is the Greek of it means dirty or loose, and almost putrid when I looked it up. That's kind of the meaning of that word. First of all, it is the defiance of it. It's not like this accidentally happened, like an angel was walking by when they saw a beautiful woman and thought, oh, I just can't help it. No, this was an act. This was a planned strategy by the devil to destroy man. That's just exactly what it was. So it's not an accident. It's not something they couldn't help. It was planned. And as this happened, what happens, you're going to find, the Enoch gives us these things that no one else does. They not only defiled these women and had these icky offspring, they taught them things that were not to be taught to humans. Notice what Enoch singles out as being taught. Charms and enchantments. Now, this is all sorcery and witchcraft. Okay, we know all over the Old Testament that is a no-no. God does not want any kind of witchcraft. The cutting of roots. That was a little bit hard for me to find, but here's what I found out about it. There are today people that will call, you may be old enough to remember this, you may not. My parents were going to have a water well dug. They have several water wells. They wanted one out in the lot. That was before we had real water, and they wanted to put a windmill. And some guy was going to come out and supposedly witch a well. It looked like a big wishbone of a tree, and it supposedly, my mom wouldn't let him do it. So, no, you're not going to do that. So we don't have any trouble getting water here. It's pretty shallow, and so I remember asking, what is that? And she says, well, it's witchcraft, and they take like a big wishbone-shaped tree branch, and supposedly you walk around, and when they find water, it points down. And that's called witching a well. That's cutting of roots. That's exactly what they were doing. They were cutting pieces of trees and either finding water or finding minerals or something. They were searching for something, and it's witchcraft. That's what cutting of roots is. We call it witching wells today. I don't know. Maybe there's other names for it. Made them acquainted with plants. The nearest I can come to that is that there were and have always been plants who have drug-like medicinal purposes. There have the Indians used to use peyote. Marijuana is not new. There's barks of trees that make you have hallucinations. And witches use drugs. That's plants. That's sorcery. That's witchcraft. Adam and Eve didn't know about it. They were eating from the Garden of Eden, and everything was wonderful. They got kicked out. Luxury wasn't there. I mean, there were weeds and all kinds of stuff growing on earth. And this is what these angels taught the human beings about, was the drugs in the plants. Also poisons. Taught them how to use plants to poison people. Now, does that sound like witchcraft? Of course it does. And consumed all acquisitions of men. Once they had eaten up all of the farm animals, all the domestic animals, all of the animals roaming around, deer and the like, these giants were hungry. Estimates for some giants were that they could weigh upwards to 1,500 pounds. They weigh something like a big steer. And you people that feed steers know how much pounds of food they put away a day. If you had a humanish kind of creature who was carnivorous, and there were no more steers to eat on the earth because there were too many of you eating, then the next best thing are the humans. These guys practice cannibalism. This is the first mention in the Bible of cannibalism. And it's Enoch spelling out details and taking names. So that's what that is. They consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. It is not unlike what we're seeing today. I'm not saying people are so hungry that they're practicing cannibalism, but they're doing it in the ritualistic way. And also drinking blood. This is a throwback to what these watcher angels taught human beings to do. They were sent down by the Satan to corrupt mankind's DNA, to corrupt mankind's mind, and to corrupt mankind in every action that he did. There is no more corrupting than to eat another human being and to drink their blood. Nothing makes God matter. The life is in the blood. And this is what these creatures did. How do I know? Enoch writes about it. This is something Moses doesn't say. Why wouldn't he? You should know this. You, as a Jewish scholar, would know these details. You do now, because you are a Jewish scholar, and you do know this now. And they began to sin against birds. Now, this is several things it means. They began having sex with animals. They began also creating other creatures from animals. It is no surprise in Greece, and I've told you this story before, that all of their sidewalks and boardwalks and building sides and cafes have pictures of these half horse, half men, half goat, half man, half some other creature, half bird, half man. And I said, man, you guys are really into mythology. And the waiter goes, what are you talking about? That's our history. They knew this really happened. The Greeks understood this. This really happened. These awful watchers began tweaking the bird's DNA so that you had half bird, half man. They began tweaking the bull's DNA. So you have bull, half man. That's called a minotaur. If you studied Greek mythology, which I had to in college, I thought, why? I'm teaching fifth grade. I understand now that that's history. It was called Greek mythology. It's history. We know it's history because Enoch tells us this. They began corrupting the animals, not just the humans. If you want to go, ooh, you can. Sometimes I cringe when I read this, but I'm so glad that I know, because for many years I did not understand this. So they've corrupted the birds, beasts, reptiles, and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Now, here's what you have to know. Paul tells us that the earth is groaning for redemption. It is. The earth is a living entity. I can't explain it, but you know that. You know that this earth is so corrupted, it can't be redeemed. We laugh and say, I say, don't recycle. People say, why not? I said, because we're getting a new heaven and a new earth. Why would I? You can't fix this one. Here's part of what Paul told us. That's why I think he hints back to Enoch too. Here's what Enoch says about it. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. The earth counted it down who did this. The earth's going to have its say because it's got to be restored. And here's the new name for those watchers, those fallen angels, those entities. Calls them the lawless ones. Pretty good description. Pretty good description. I think that I have to put a little bit of an assumption in here when, and this is going to be a stretch, so here, bear with me, and if you don't agree with me, I'm totally good with that. There's one other case in the Bible where the phrase lawless one is used, and it is only once, and it refers to the Antichrist. Now hear me out. Could it be that these awful watchers, these fallen angel entities that are following the Satan, of course, but could it be, because Enoch names him the lawless one, that he's really hinting and pointing us to the Antichrist? We know for a fact in Matthew 24, when Jesus is, you know, really getting close to the cross, and he's up on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking to four of his inner circle disciples, and he says, how do we know you're coming back? And what is the sign of your coming? And he says, it'll be as in the days of Noah. And Paul tells us, and the lawless one will appear. Only time that term is used in the Bible is about the Antichrist. I think Enoch is stepping into prophecy and pointing us into several millennial past him, where these lawless ones are hinting at what the lawless one will do. The lawless one wants to change the DNA of people. That's what the mark's going to be. He wants to corrupt the women. He wants to breed and have awful entities ruling. He wants to corrupt every animal, every bird. He wants to drink blood. And he wants to cannibalize the human race. I think this piece, calling these the lawless ones, points us to the Antichrist. You may not see it, but I think that's what Enoch is hinting at. Prophecy is so deep and it's got so many layers. Sure, these guys are lawless ones, but I think that's deeper than that. Because in the Bible, that's who it's referring to. Now, having totally confused you, let's go on to 1 Enoch chapter 8. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them and bracelets and ornaments and the use of antimony and the beautifying of the eyelids and all kinds of costly stones and all coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness and they committed fornication and they were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. That should be underlined, all. Semjaza taught enchantments and root cuttings. Armoros, the resolving of enchantments. Barakwael taught astrology. Kokabel, the constellations. Ezequiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Eraquiel, the signs of the earth. Shamziel, the signs of the sun. And Sariel, the course of the moon. And as men perished, they cried. And their cries went up to heaven. Again, it's kind of rehashing the things that maybe a little bit. We get here how they corrupted the use of the stars, moon, and sun. Those are gods. God put those in the sky for our use. Yes, we can tell seasons by them, and yes, we can read his story. You can see the virgin, Virgo, give birth. His whole story's in the skies. And that's not witchcraft. That's God. The devil took what God meant for good, And he corrupted it. So they taught these fallen angels, these watchers, taught human beings how to tweak those stars and to tell fortunes and to get into witchcraft. And that's what God forbids. He doesn't say you can't, don't look in the sky and tell the seasons and my glory and all that. In fact, he said I gave all the stars a name. This is God's business. But again, the devil is corrupting what we know to be good. The knowledge of the clouds, I'm going to tell you how far-fetched I think I am on this. And you can just blow this off if you want to. Feel perfectly able to do that. But I think what we're seeing now in our weather patterns, and I will give you an example. I told some of you today I picked 5 pumpkins in my garden. It's August 13th. And they were fully ripe and needed to be picked. It's 2 months off here by any stretch of the words. And I was grateful. I'm thankful we will have pumpkin pie. Thank you, God. But I'm thinking, yeah. The clouds are messed up. I think NASA's playing with them. I think there's cloud seeding going on. I think there's CERN is playing into it. And you know, I'm a cuckoo in some way. So you don't have to listen to me. But I think what this is telling us is that this entity, these fallen guys, took what God meant for good. The natural cycle of the clouds and the rain and the seasons, the natural things, and they tweaked them. I don't know how. They tweaked human beings. They can tweak the clouds. And they taught this knowledge on earth. God told them not to. This is not a good knowledge. This is not a good thing. So we get that, and we get how the horoscope is a bad thing. That's become witchcraft. Witches use that. They took what God designed to be wonderful in the skies where we could tell things, and witches use it. So it became tainted. That's what these guys came to do. They came to take what God meant for good and turn it into bad. Pay attention to the details of Enoch giving us the name, and he names names. This is why this book fills in the gap from Genesis 6, 1 to 4. When you just read Genesis 6, 1 to 4, there's some big gaps in that. Moses thinks you know this stuff, and how would you know it? Because you studied Enoch, and of course, now you do. So, the sword, knife, and shield, and breastplate, of course, is war. There was no wars before this time. There wouldn't need to have been, would there? Tinctures are medicines made by dissolving a drug in alcohol. So, it's going back to drugs, plants. That's what a tincture is. Antimony. A lead antimony is an alloy used mostly in batteries. It could also include bullets, cable sheathing, used to make flame retardant materials, paints, enamels, glass, and pottery. It has many compounds and it is toxic. I'm guessing probably what he was centering on here was bullets. They were teaching him warfare. So he had to know, they had to know about metals, which no one knew about metals before this. They had to know about the right alloys to use, and then he was teaching him about drugs. They were teaching him about drugs. Enchantments and root cuttings, I think we've already gone into. Any kind of enchantments would refer to sorcery or witchcraft. Some kind of divination, all that would be under enchantments. So we have astrology taking place here and the constellations. And then I told you what I thought the clouds might mean. That may not be it, but he taught them something naughty about the clouds. And it's the only thing I could think of is how to tweak weather and make it under their subjection. We've got that happening today. The signs of the sun, you're going to find that probably what we found out here that he taught them is to worship the sun. We see the sun god appear after this over and over again. And if you understand what the Muslim religion is, they worship the god of the moon. They worship the moon god. So they were teaching him to worship these entities in the sky. This is where we get a lot of the ancient religions. Genesis 4:10. Remember it said men were crying up to God. They were being eaten alive, and they were crying up to God, and God heard them. I'm just going to read Genesis 4:10. And he said, "What hast thou done?" This is after Cain killed Abel. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The earth has a voice. This is not my word. It sounds to me like if the earth's crying up to God from the ground, it has a voice. Don't kid yourself. The earth was crying out to God when these giant entity, awful Nephilim, were killing men, spilling their blood on the earth and eating them. The earth was crying to God. Now, that's a picture that you might say, oh, that can't happen. I didn't write this book. Read Genesis. The earth is crying to God now for the blood of the 60 million babies we have butchered on the altar of convenience in this country. I don't know that we're redeemable because our earth is crying out to God. I'm guessing it's the same pattern as it always has been. I am in chapter 9. I learned to read my Roman numerals backwards. 9:1. I don't teach fifth grade. I just teach myself. And then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel. This is the only place, and not Bible, this is Enoch, where we have names of good angels other than Michael, Gabriel. That's the only, in our Holy Bible, the canonized Bible, we have two names. We have one baddie. I don't say his name is capitalized. I call him the Satan. But we have Michael and Gabriel name. But now look what Enoch does. He gives us more information. Again, I am in 9:1. And then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel look down from heaven. We know these are the good guys. They're in heaven. And saw much blood being shed upon the earth, and all the lawlessness being wrought upon the earth. And they said one to another, "The earth made without inhabitant cries, the voice of their crying up to the gates of heaven. And now to you, the holy ones of heaven," they're talking to the other entities, "the souls of men make their suit, saying, bring our cause before the Most High. And they said to the Lord of ages, Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings and God of the ages, the throne of thy glory standeth unto all the generations of the ages. And thy name holy and glorious and blessed unto all the ages. Thou hast made all things, and power over all things hast thou. And all things are naked and open in thy sight, and thou seest all things, and nothing can hide itself from thee. Thou seest what Azazel hath done, who hath taught all the unrighteousness on earth and revealed the eternal secrets. I underline secrets, because men weren't supposed to know these, which were preserved in heaven. They were not supposed to come to earth. Which men were striving to learn, and Shemzaza, to whom thou hast given authority to bear rule over his associates. And they have gone to the daughters of men upon the earth, and have slept with the women, and have defiled themselves, and revealed to them all kinds of sins. And the women have borne giants, and the whole earth has thereby been filled with blood and unrighteousness. And now behold, the souls of those who have died are crying and making their suit to the gates of heaven, and their lamentations have ascended and cannot cease because of the lawless deeds which are wrought on the earth. And thou knowest all things before they come to pass, and thou seest these things, and thou dost suffer them, and thou dost not say to us what we are to do to them in regard to these. Jude 14 and 15 says something really similar. This is from Jude. In the seventh generation from Adam, Enoch also prophesied these things, saying, behold, the Lord came with his holy myriads to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners spoke against him. If you didn't get it, Jude was saying what they did that Enoch explained was ungodly. How many times do we have to hear that from Jude before he says, I'm telling you, Enoch spelled it out what they were doing, and Jude said, it's ungodly. And how did he know that? How did he know those things? Moses didn't tell him all that. That information did not come from any of Moses' writings. It came from Enoch, the book of Enoch. Now, Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel were the heavenly holy ones, and they're the good guys. We know from other Christian traditions, I looked up some of the meanings of these words. Michael means who is like God. Again, that EL on the end, God, Godlike. These are good way of gods. These are lining themselves with God. Daniel did the same thing. Daniel's name fits right with God. He ends in EL. Uriel means light or light bearer of God. Raphael means the healer of God or God's healer or God heals. Gabriel is God is my warrior. Remember, he's the messenger angel. Sariel is God is my prince, leader, or captain. Job 33:23 says, if there is a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness. Job was asking for an angel to come because he knew there were messenger angels. Well, we know we've found Gabriel coming to Mary, of course, with the message, and then to Joseph. Daniel 7:20, fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, describing the throne room of God. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. This is in the throne room of God. These guys are into the millions and billions. We have no idea how to count them. We are only given privilege to just a few. And the clue of the EL, always pick up on that. So the takeaway from Enoch 1 through 9 is this. Things are getting really messed up on earth. When those watchers bound themselves together and promised that they would come down, came on Mount Hermon 200 strong, 20 in the lead, to corrupt humankind and change its DNA forever, they were up to no good. And like I said, they darn well succeeded. Had it not been for a flood, an ark, and ate human people, our story would have been ended before it began, because no Messiah could have come. Any questions? Does anyone see the pattern of how the Genesis and Enoch fit together? This just fills in the gap. It fills in a lot of information we wouldn't have otherwise.
Do you know what names the...
The good guys or the bad guys?
The angels that are the leaders? Mm-hmm. These are the chiefs of tens?
Yeah.
You know how it says there's going to be ten... What is it? Ten kings?
And they end in... Huh? You think maybe one of them will be over them? It's possible. Mm-hmm. They're, what we know about the fallen angels is... They have no hope. Like their leader, the saint, there's no redemption for them. So they're going to give it their very best because they don't have anything to lose. They've lost it all. Well, let me see if we can close this. Father, we thank you for the word that you brought from Mr. Enoch. We ask that as we study and we dig and we learn that I not say anything would not please you. And Lord, if I'm wrong, highlight it and I'll correct it. And if I'm right, just keep us going. And Father, as we study this, we ask that it help us see our situation today a little more clearly. That really the rulers that we have are no different than these awful rulers. They're all in control by the enemy of our souls. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you give us great and mighty wisdom to how to overcome, how to be who you want us to be, and how to bring hundreds and thousands to the cross before it is too late. We thank you, we love you, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.